Hey y'all. I'm glad I'm a fag too, I gotta tell you. And I'm really glad to read tonight. Thanks for inviting me. And I'm 42, I'll be 43 this year. So it's really, I've seen a lot of change in my life too. It's hard to believe what we've been through, what we still have to do. But growing up, I could never imagine that just last year I would attend my brother's wedding to his husband. He lives here in Carnegie. So I love being with you, but I also like to have dinner with my brother sometimes. So anyway, and also on the day of his wedding, there was a double rainbow in the sky. So if God doesn't love that, right? So I have a few poems. This first one is called "An American Porn Star Contemplates the Divine." Call your God of mourning, but I claim a God who wants us returned to the mind instead of the world that locks us in. God who made every cage with a keyhole, taking the body as blueprint. Sometimes I wonder what kind of anal sex God has. Sometimes my mother sits smoking on her end of the phone saying, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" Then I've never had an orgasm, crying on my bed after my father's funeral. He wanted to be cremated. She buried him in a dirt hole. I am ashamed. I didn't make the world filthier so people could enjoy it more. Shame God made last. Tuesday, another jock-themed shoot, lights rebounding off rented lockers. I can't stay hard. Maybe I finally pissed God off. He's taken away my one redeeming talent. The boom guy withdraws his flaccid mic. The director thunders off to find some Cialis. I look good in surrender. Later, in an airport Starbucks, JFK bound, a man in line pays for me. "I've seen all your movies," tonguing his bottom lip like I'm a thin film of cherry flavored gloss. Something in me that is afraid to be naked and is naked wants to ask him, this needlessly bow-tied traveler, "How was I?" Just to remember myself someone's deity. In the movie they make with my body, I say, "Oh God," like it's a threat. Should I feel punished? No one comes home with me after the disco ball goes out. I baptize one cigarette with the end of another, stumble into a taxi, its leather-backed seat slit, soft foam spilling out. Sometimes my scene boyfriend smiles goofy up at me, his tongue lolling at the corner, and I forget the camera catching us is the eye of God. He made us like a virus. What's human is incurable, undetectable, subject to time. Sort of a different tone. This is a post-apocalyptic horror show ending in a Cher song. It's what we imagine best. The world wants to be rid of us. Though no queer man needs a movie to live in fear of his body, a virus turning its host into living death. In the zombie apocalypse, I'm betting the queers outlive the heteros. We know what it is to survive not just plague, but terror, what it is to feel the threat close as sweat on your neck. I'm exhuming the AIDS metaphor buried in every zombie movie at the behest of my maddeningly bemused boyfriend, and he's arguing that zombies don't have sexuality, are ahistorical, are just nostalgia cut down to its guttural essence when the final image in the movie arrives. Wind knocking someone's cell phone against a zombie foot that's still trudging forward despite its disembodiment, and a voice pressing free. Cher singing out, "I found someone." Her brassy tenor trumpeting over the broken dishes in the diner, the open, stinking freezers, the thawed steaks sloughed out like forgotten skins. Imagine that. What the world wanted all along was just a song, a way to remember us. This poem sort of came about when I realized that the queerest thing in the world is language. It's just how did that come about, right? And then thinking about plurals that were irregular. And the first one, of course, was faggot, which is already plural. So that's sort of how this poem started. It's called Irregular Plurals. A pile of sticks bound for the pyre. It's easy to forget. Faggot is already plural. Every plural scissors, it's singular. Everything pieces back to one. The problem of oranges and orchard. The problem a cut apple spits out to its seeds. Example, the plural of story is history. I is ad infinitum. The plural of thinking is feeling. My problem is the article I read yesterday about the window and the boy. I'll come back for them. I'm sorry. I can't stop a thing from accumulating. Add an S, an ES, archaic, how we think, adding more makes a story bearable. The plural of broken is suicide. The plural of string is harping, just as the plural of hand is jobs. Shiver of, quiver in. There is no one pleasure when words fail. This is true of pain as well, and that is the plural of epiphany. It feels monstrous to be saved more than once, so the plural of we must be Jesus. The plural of once I was raped is every day after. The plural victim growing inside me, garden proliferating past its seed. Think of the 16-year-old boy jumping from the building's fourth-story window, limbs seeking singularity the moment the John unties the restraints that keep him the plural of bed. Cruelty is its own plural. It makes me glad to say he survived. That boy is somewhere breathing, making my lives shudder into focus. All too clear. This last poem I'm going to read takes its genesis from the film Cruising, which was written and directed by William Friedkin in 1980. It was released in 1980. And ACT UP protested the making of this film. Which follows Al Pacino's character as he's an undercover cop, trying to catch a serial killer in the BDSM gay leather Levi community. And so they protested the making of this film, shouting, so the film had to be remixed. Probably Celeste knows a lot more about this film than I do, but it's sort of a fascinating film because the killer is never credited in the film, and he's played by several different actors. The film seems to imply that the killer jumps bodies, and that Al Pacino at the end may have caught the killerness. So it's a weird film, worthy of being protested, but also interesting to watch. This is called Erotic Crime Thriller, Cruising, 1980. It's just a flimsy mattress in a hookup motel on a night when the moon is a single stud in a leather sky. Just a bed, smelling of spilled poppers until two men enter the room. Then it's a story. One man lays himself naked, face down, offering the bones of his wrists and ankles to be rope knotted, the thrill of seeing what can exist after encountering extremity. Forgive me. I start with desire when I should the movie's first image, a hand floating in a helpless river, crossfading into a couple of male cops forcing two queer sex workers into trading their painted mouths for their freedom. Ask the mattress for if it regrets its past life in the flash of crime scene photo. All sex is a body trying to tell a story with a hand over its mouth. Because this is erotic crime, there's dick and death. What follows is hours of leather bar dancing, the ass and ball sweat smell sulking off the celluloid, and plenty of interrogation too. The killer seeming to jump bodies until the undercover cop at the end seems to have caught the serial virus. This being 1980, the end of innocent beds, of innocuous jocks, foam parties, and no condom trade. As if the director, godlike, in trying to conjure the end of taboo by looking at how freaks make love, sees everywhere instead bloodstain gathering its terrible bloom. I mean, in trying to see us gorgeous in strobe light, gorgeous in dim urinals, in park bushes, under the spinning doom of moon, in trying to make us subject, he subjected us to our next ravage. I can't help feeling if only they could have seen one of us as human instead of victim, it would not have happened, the plague. My friend says I'm being dramatic, says you can't blame art for history or epidemiology either. Forgive me. I have come here to the river, to the bed, to the edge of foaming time, to 1980, a year before the first cases were reported. I have come with my one good hand covered in blood, and I will say anything to save us. Thank you.